It's Wednesday, May the 6th, and you're tuned in to the Chinese Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Something like that.
That's what we've been doing. Quarantine week.
We are still in quarantine.
Week question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yes, I believe here in Canada, we just got an official instruction that lockdown continues till at least
the middle of the month, like the 12th or something.
May 19th.
19th?
Just after Victoria Day weekend.
So, gosh darn it. Which
makes sense because I don't think they would want people going out immediately to party for the long weekend.
But I want that virus.
But I like reading all the pie in the sky. Like we're reaching here for a light at the end of the tunnel solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The best one I read today was that there's a llama whose blood may contain the cure.
Oh shit.
A llama. So I look forward to seeing how that progresses.
I wonder what what's the limits on say one of us, right? Our blood contained the secret ingredient, the chemical X that cured COVID for good.
Yes.
Can I monetize my own body? Am I allowed to do that?
I think...
Is there laws against it?
I mean, I don't know if there's a law against it. It's your body?
Can the government seize my blood? For the betterment of their countrymen.
I don't think they can.
Okay.
I think you will be a walking target.
It'll be like that scene in, was it Batman Dark Knight?
Yeah, I'll be like, it's like, oh, you, it's like the minute you say I'm going to try and monetize this, I think they'll be like, no, but then like.
But what if it's the opposite end? What if it's just like, fuck all of you. You can't touch my blood. I don't care if I have the cure, fuck you.
I think then that's when those non-official government sanctioned programs come into place. Those ones that are not acknowledged.
Those shadow governments.
Yeah, you know, like...
Wake up one day with a prick and a Band-Aid on your arm, and you're like, yeah. What the fuck?
And, you know, they come to my house, and they'd be like, this is now Anthony. I'm like, oh, it is?
okay.
This is Anthony. I'm like, okay.
I guess.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's what happens. So, just give up your body. That's what I say.
No.
I say, give it up. Give it up good.
I want to watch the world burn.
All right. All right. You know what? Let's just start things off with a question from Khan's Corner.
Oh, I didn't see this one.
It's the PC Master Race.
Oh my god.
Hey, TNAB crew. Hope everyone is doing well, with some areas slowly experimenting on opening up again. It looks like things might return to normal, but I'd still be wary. A neat little bonus to all this craziness is the stimulus check given to U.S. residents to help through these trying times.
Yeah, I heard it sucks dick.
Supposedly lasting families 10 weeks to boost. The boost is to help people make essential purchases, pay bills, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I made the sound financial decision and built myself a gaming rig.
Awesome.
I had wanted one for a while, but I've been holding off for a long time. I used PC Part Picker to help organize the parts and made sure everything was compatible. And my good friend helped me build it and understand all the fancy marketing jargon.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting a long time to play a bunch of PC games and the mods to help accentuate the experience. I can't wait to play... Oblivion.
What? You're pulling a meme, my dude.
And maybe the full Witcher series, finally.
Vince always says that, one's not worth it, so I don't know.
Yeah, thanks to my Trump bucks, my NEET, N-E-E-T,
yes,
life is able to go ahead even further beyond.
To infinity and beyond.
What are some life choices you guys waited a long time until finally biting the bullet? What helped push you guys to make the decision, or what are some future plans, goals you guys still have in mind? If Canada received a stimulus check as well, how did you guys choose to utilize it? Take care, everyone. Always nice to hear from my essential podcasting entertainment. Sincerely, Rafid.
Bro, we got a baller stimulus program.
So fill them in on our stimulus program.
We got multiple ones based on your position in life right now. Yep. So if you lost your job because of COVID and you can't get whatever, you get I think it's almost $2,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
or something, $1,750 a month.
Yep.
for the foreseeable future. They've put no limit on it because they don't know how long COVID's going to go.
Yeah.
On the other end of it, they were just like, if you're a student and you can't find work because of it, like you get $1,250 a month. And if you're taking care of a dependent, you get up to $1,500 a month.
I think if you're also an essential worker, you get something,
right? Yeah. And if you're an essential worker, you get that student one. The same like lower end version.
Okay.
And then if you're not an essential worker, you're still allowed to work and get the money. But if you make over $1,000 a month, then you have to forfeit the relief.
That's unfortunately the category I fall into.
Yeah. So
bullshit.
Get fucked.
Why do I have to work?
Get fucked. So yeah, like, I don't know. Canada's got a fucking baller program, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't going to use it on some superfluous shit.
But I mean, you are a student. It's not like you have, other than your school stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like you
like have the majority of it is going to be saved until I can go back to school, right? Yeah. It's going to be put towards tuition. It's going to be put towards books and stuff like that. But maybe I want a new capture card.
Oh my god.
maybe I want that new version of Sony Vegas video editing.
Oh my goodness.
That's discounted because I hold the old version.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. There's a bunch of little, maybe I want Doom Eternal. I don't know.
Yes.
Like, there's a bunch of little stuff, but like, fortunately, because like I had worked before I went back to school, actually, like a lot of the big purchases I would want that I would be tempted to spend this on is kind of gone. The only thing I can think of is like a TV.
Okay. You only have that 32, right?
I think it's 36.
Okay.
So it's not like the reason I bought it is because it has component and composite inputs.
Mm-hmm.
But with a lot of, you know what? That's the superfluous shit I'm gonna use it on is probably like some sort of this thing is called open source scale converter.
Oh, box to plug other boxes into.
So you use that box and you plug your old consoles into that box and then there's some magic in the box and it outputs it into HDMI like 1080p. So I can play like my NES at 1080p.
Yeah.
Or the other one I saw recently was PSP connectors. It's PSP power to or PSP the visual, like on the 2000, 3000 models, out to HDMI, upscaled. Oh. And so I can play like Crisis Core at 1080p or some bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. I think mine was only two component cables, I think.
That would be some bullshit that I would buy. Other than that, like, I think I'm gonna take the responsible route, which is fucking boring, I know. But being older now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more like, I have these certain things that are more important.
Yeah, I guess I hear that. I don't get the stimulus check, so mine's just like business as usual.
Yeah, you're just like, hey, what about these toys though?
No, you know, like I've definitely been saving a lot. Like I'm at the point now where it's like, I don't really have anything to buy. I have like no debts I need to pay off. Like,
you paid off your car?
Oh, except for that. Oh, but okay. Like, that's kind of just, I don't really care. You have 0% financing, so I don't really, I could pay it now or I could pay it in whatever, 4 years.
Hurry up.
It doesn't matter, right? But I've been looking around at stuff I wanted to get. Like, I'm thinking about getting one of those like Secret Labs gaming chairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're like $400.
Now I gotta look up gaming chairs.
Because I was like, I didn't realize they were so heavy. They're like 60 pounds.
Oh yeah, they're not.
Yeah, I didn't realize
they're light. There's a lot of shit in it.
Yeah, I'm like, I kind of want one. That seems pretty cool to get.
That might be a good purchase because I sit at my computer a lot.
Yeah, like
I if see, I get like an ergonomic lot, chair, that'd be some good shit.
It just seems like crazy because you're like, oh man, do I really want to spend like hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a chair? But then you think about it, it's
like I spend all day in this chair.
It's like your bed, right? It's like people don't want to spend all the money in your bed, but then you're like, dude, where are you half of your life in your bed?
Oh, that's the one. It's the AK racing chair. You want one of those racing chairs?
No, I think I like the Secret Labs ones.
The Secret Labs ones are cool.
I think I want to get one of those. Because they have some cool designs, too. They have the Overwatch ones or just, like, the black and suede leather.
You're not going to get, what's it called? The fucking, the D.Va one?
That's Secret Labs.
Oh, yeah, I know what I'm saying. Like,
so I'm looking at it. It's $519 Canadian.
Damn.
We'll see. Because I'm also in that market for, like, a new laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. I don't know. I'm in no rush to do any of this kind of stuff. It's just...
Ooh, Best Buy's got a sale on gaming chairs.
Oh, do they now?
As I currently look these up.
I see. But yeah, that's really it.
This one's got a footrest. What the fuck?
So I guess going back to his question, is there anything that you've waited on a long time to before finally biting the bullet?
In terms of purchases?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, I'm pretty much an impulse buyer.
Yeah.
The only reason that I would have to wait on something is if I didn't have the funding to do it. Like, yeah. If I didn't have the necessary capital. Like, the one thing I'll never do is I'll never go into, like, super deep debt for something that I can just save up for and then get. No, right? There's certain things like a house
yeah,
or
for
a car
sure. Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, I got 40 grand on. I got 100, yeah. 300 grand on hand. I'm just going to buy a house in cash. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Unless. But other than that, like, even my PC I bought, when I bought it a couple years ago now, I think it's like 3 years old now, I spent, like, $2,600 on it, and I paid for it all flat out, no financing, no nothing, just because
no for sure
I didn't want to live that debt life. Like, yeah. I put everything on my credit card and then immediately paid off the credit card.
Yeah, that's generally how I operate, except for certain things, like you said, like, oh well, no, actually my phone is like, I have one of those tab plans, so I guess that counts as like a,
I don't know if that counts because like everybody does it.
Oh.
But everyone also does it for a house. It's like,
yeah, so I don't know, but anyways, yeah, no, you're right, like I don't really go. The only thing I put myself into debt for is, like, fast food. Like, that's where my credit card goes.
Because then you don't notice it, right? Yeah. You're just like, fries here, bubble tea there.
Yeah.
You know, just chilling. And then just like, oh, fuck.
That's my credit card bill this month.
That Korean food cost me a lot of money.
Oh, shit. I better pay that off. Yeah, no. I don't think there's anything I've been, like, wanting to buy. I mean, like, I definitely have things I would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not because... Yeah, you're right. It's mostly just... capital and funds, and just I could probably put that money to better use on other things.
Yeah,
right.
We are obnoxiously boring with our money.
Yeah,
right. Unless it's you buying toys,
yeah,
or it's me buying games.
Yeah.
Like, I was so frugal that I didn't want to open up a checkings account because they were going to charge me fees.
Wow.
And I only recently opened up a checkings account along with my savings account because I'm a student, and it waives those fees, baby.
Yeah, I think for me, I have to hold like a certain amount in my bank
account. Yeah, I got no limit. But
they raised it on mine, and I was like, what?
Hey, screw you, what the hell?
I was like, what? And it's, yeah, so it's like, now I have to keep at least like 35 in my checking account.
Yo, they're trying to get you,
and I'm
man.
Like, 35? Really? I'm like, okay, whatever, but
35
still.
Grand?
100.
Oh, I was like, holy shit, you're balling.
It's not like a super huge amount, yeah. But it's just like, most. I remember when I was, maybe it's because I was just younger or not, but I remember it used to be like 1,000, and that's it.
You weren't making anything, and you were like 10.
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever. Anyways, that's besides the point. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, sorry, Rafid. We are we're boring people. We do not have those kind of things. And if we have any future goals, I don't know. Do we still have any future goals or things we want to get that's still just only reserved by capital? I mean, other than like a house.
Yeah, I would like a new car. Like, my car is, like, 11, 12 years old now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would like to get a motorcycle, but also, like, that'd I also... Fun. No, I don't need... Like, it's not, like, one of those things where it's like, oh, I really want one. It's just, like, that'd be so nice to have.
Yeah, I want a nice apartment, or I want a house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, the adult shit now. I don't know. It's fucking weird. It is. Because, like, that's the weird thing, too, because it's, like, you know when you're younger... And you're like, oh man, I can't wait till the day that I can buy my own gaming console.
Yeah.
Right? And then you get there, and the first time you do it, you're like, hell yeah, I did it. Right? And then the second console comes out, and you're like, fuck, now I have to spend $600. Shit. And like
yeah.
the happiness goes away very fast of independence.
Yeah.
And then like the more independence you get, the more it's like the initial high of like, oh, I can do it. Oh, I can do it. Oh, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually... there's so much on you that it's like, fuck, yeah. I'm alone on this.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
And then other things come into play, and yeah. It's just like, that's what being adult's all about.
Not me. I'll never grow up.
Okay.
I'll Peter Pan this shit forever.
Oh, I wish you the best of luck. When you start missing your shadow, don't come running to me for help. All right, thanks, Rafid.
Yeah, thanks, Rafid. That was a good question.
All right, so next up, we do have a question to chew on, I believe.
We do.
Okay, we do have a question to chew on. Paul writes in. He has a quarantine question.
Okay.
Is there anything you've always...
Quarenched? No, that doesn't work. Quarenched? No, not happening.
It's a QQ. Is there anything that you've always done during the day that now that we're all in quarantine, you realize we're purely in workplace activities?
Like things I would do at work during work hours. And it was a habit that I only had at the workplace.
Yeah.
Definitely snooping to see if people had snacks.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I just noticed. Can I have one of those?
Okay.
Or trying to figure out like the most efficient way to spend the most time in the bathroom, on very long, boring days, stuff like that. A lot of, I wouldn't call it time theft, but I would call it a lazy at workplace attitude.
According to his question, like, it's not so much that I didn't realize they were, like, I am conscious that I only do this because it's at work.
Yeah.
And those are, like, I always...
Work.
No, I would always leave my desk to go wander the halls and socialize with all my friends.
Just to go...
Just say, hey, what's mingle, up? What's going on? What's new? Saying hi to everybody. And now that I'm at home, I cannot do that.
That's the one thing that's kind of like stayed consistent with from me at work to me now in quarantine, which is like at work, I was in IT and I had a tiny room, like literally quarantined away from everybody else.
Yeah.
And now I have a tiny room quarantined from everyone else in my family. So that stuff's kind of stayed the same, I would say.
Yeah, no, like that's definitely one of mine. At work, what I would do all the time was... I would leave to go on walks, whether that's like in the mall or in the path in Toronto in the winter or whatever. And now when I want to do that, I just go walk to the around the block or around the park. So like that's still the same.
Have you gotten kids get off my lawn attitude yet?
No.
Like, you see like some family doing something annoying every time you walk and you're like, God, dummies.
Not really.
Okay.
I kind of don't care about anybody else in my neighborhood. Like when I see people, I'm like, whatever, do what the fuck you want.
All right.
Like your life. But yeah, no, that's really it. Like the social part, I suppose, of going to work is the thing I knew that would be different.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it's gotten, I like the ability or like the opportunity to work from home.
Yeah.
But I don't want to work from home.
Like you don't want, that's the thing that I think we talked about before is just like, I don't think people actually want to work from home forever.
No.
Right. They just want to do it. Until like they want to do it if they have to, like if something comes up, I have the ability to
do like this. They want the option, but I think being able, like, I don't know, maybe I like going into an office or like I like going to my place of work.
Yeah,
I don't like the fact that my home is now work, whereas before it was when I was at home, it's like I didn't have to think about work.
Mm-hmm. That's true,
right? But oh well, that's just where we are right now.
That's life, bro.
You just deal with it. His second question is, now that Anime Club is back, who is the best girl?
In Code Geass?
I'm assuming because he references Anime Club, yes. Because
he says, who's the best girl?
Who's the best girl?
And that makes me think it's more broad topic. But if you're talking about Code Geass, it's obviously Ninja Maid.
Ooh, Ninja Maid.
It's Ninja Maid.
Ninja Maid. I don't know if it's Ninja Maid.
Bro, she threw kunais in those armored dudes' backs and then was like, Colin, check it out. Here's your uniform. I love you.
I think it's still Colin. It's Domon's daughter.
Oh, Domon's daughter is so good. But Sayako, though.
Yeah. But Colin is Colin. Remember, she was a double-crossing spy at the beginning, and then she... She got Lelouchian. She was naked in the shower with Lelouch.
She had the phone.
Yeah. She was ready to kill everybody. And then she became loyal to the idea of Zero.
But I'm going to show you a single picture.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Here comes the hentai.
Bam. What if your girl jumped out of an explosion and midair threw three kunais at some dude?
But my girl is piloting the most badass mecha in the series.
Yeah, because she had to get it upgraded by the enemy, the fucking Britannians. Whatever, bro. That's pure Nihonjin skill right there.
Yo, listen, circumstances don't matter. You take what you can get and you roll with it.
That's that Nippon.
That is
tenacity. That is
the way of the human.
All right, whatever. I think we can agree to disagree. Because sure. Your choice,
yeah.
I also agree with. This is one of those rare cases where I'm looking at the waifu and I'm like, I understand.
Yes.
I totally get it.
Yes.
Right? Like, that is a good pick. There's nothing, I can see no faults.
Yeah, you'd just be happy I didn't say something like C2.
Yeah, like if you said C2, I'd have been like, shut up, get out of here. I'm God, I can't die. Oh, I want to die. Whatever, you fucking baby.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, what if I said Nunnally?
Then you got some kink shit I don't want to know about, right? Like, it's not, like, I didn't realize you were the lolly man.
Like, I am not the lolly right? man,
but also, I didn't realize that you were all about that you know, that certain lifestyle.
No, unfortunately, I'm
that,
not.
That kink lifestyle.
I'm not a participatory participant.
Okay.
Wasn't
there a fucking dating sim where you dated, like...
Lollies?
No, you dated girls with, like, severe disabilities.
Wow. If there was, I did not partake.
Oh, yeah. Katawa Shoujo. It's... And, like, all the girls, like, one girl's missing her legs, one girl's blind.
Oh.
One girl has, like, a burn... Like, she has a burn victim.
Oh, wow.
And it's a dating sim. Like, the literal translation is cripple girls or disability
girls.
Whoa! Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it, man.
And that's it.
I couldn't do it.
Apparently, it's great.
Oh, really?
Apparently, it's very good. So
the game or actually dating?
The game, yeah. Like this one girl has no arms because she was born with like a birth defect.
Whoa.
And the other one's blind.
How did she put on her shirt?
I don't know. I think I'm sure she gets
How did she tie the tie?
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah.
Cool. Thanks for writing in, Paul. Let's move into our picks.
Yeah, they got weird.
The week. Yes.
They got weird.
Let's move into our picks of the week. I'm going to start things off. Netflix has a new comedy series starring Steve Carell called Space Force.
I can't believe that they took that stupid name that the president made up. I'm pretty sure on the spot. Right, he did not think about that. He's like, but what if we had like a fucking thing called Space Force?
I think bro? He focus tested it.
Terrible. He focus tested it with a mirror.
And they said yes.
And they said yes. This looks great.
Space Force looks good. Awesome. Just go watch the trailer. It is basically like shenanigans ensue when suddenly Steve Carell is tasked with militarizing space.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously... shit goes sideways.
So. Because you're... If Gundam taught us anything.
Yeah. It looks great. I can't wait. Yeah. Space Forces looks like a fun thing. Big, it's actually got a lot of, like, very, very high-profile actors in there, so...
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot.
Yeah. Like, a lot of noteworthy names, so... Looks like a high-budget thing, but then again, it's Netflix. If it's not high-budget, then...
They got all... Like, I think they're one of the very few companies that are actually posting a profit this quarter. So
well, considering that's all everyone can do, yeah. Like, what else are you gonna do out there? Yeah, I think that was like mostly. Oh no, I had a couple small ones. I forgot these are just regular articles. But I wanted to say that. Did you see that Sylvester Stallone confirmed a new movie in the works?
No,
Demolition Man 2.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Demolition Man.
Who was in that movie?
So, Sly Stallone.
Wesley Snipes.
Sly Stallone himself says, it's coming.
Is Wesley Snipes back?
I don't know. I just saw his, like, his social media post where he's like, it's coming. It's Demolition Man 2.
This brings up a thing. I've been having an idea. It's like, maybe after Anime Club,
yeah,
we should have, like, because we're kind of locked down,
yeah,
we should kind of have like nostalgia club.
Okay.
Where we should like watch something that we watched as a kid and like see if it holds up.
Okay, sure. I'm down. I got some picks. I got some.
First on the docket, Tokyo Drift.
Oh, I was going further, man.
Which one?
Street Sharks.
Oh my God. You're not going, was it Mighty Biker Mice from Mars?
Oh, Biker Mice from Mars? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a classic.
Fighting Foodons? Oh, let's go.
And I want to go back to space for a second because it turns out that Tom Cruise
is in space now.
You know what? Sure.
Might as well be.
Because NASA has confirmed that it is working on a movie with Tom Cruise to be filmed in the International Space Station.
Wait, Tom Cruise is going to the International Space
Station? Tom Cruise.
This man knows no bounds.
Like, I know he gets a bad rap for being crazy.
He's a little crazy.
You know, in personality-wise. But you gotta give credit where credit's due. Like, the man
is dedicated to the craft.
Yes, like, he's out there putting in the work. Like, and he's not young anymore. He's doing it.
That's nutty.
Like, I wish I had his drive.
Anything?
Yeah, just half of what he is.
I still, like, whenever I think of Tom Cruise, I still can't get over that fucking Mission Impossible scene where he body ups himself over the pole when he's handcuffed to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking bonkers.
Yeah, he does some wild shit. Like, he hung off the side of the airplane for real.
For real. Like, sure, like, he was strapped to it and they green screened that shit out or they edited that out. But, like, he was on the side of the fucking airplane.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Like, dude's wild.
Man is doing whatever he can to get closer to Xenu.
We all gotta have life goals.
We all got, you're right.
We all gotta have faith, and he is 100% committed to his faith.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyways, those are my picks.
I got a couple. One is there's apparently a Skate 3 remake in the works.
Interesting.
There's a skating podcast called The Nine Club, and skater Jason Dill.
Hey, Jason. Shoutouts to you.
They were saying, like, EA had contacted him about 10 months ago.
Okay.
And they wanted him to be in a skate game. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're doing, like, a Skate 3 mobile game.
Oh. Way to crush the hopes and dreams.
I know, right? I set him up and I knocked him down. And eventually he said, no, I don't want you to be in your stupid fucking mobile game. Just make Skate 4 already. But there was also rumors that, like, EA might have abandoned the EA, or is it the Skate trademark, like, back in November.
Yeah.
So, like, don't get your hopes up for a new Skate game.
I think, actually, EA came out and said that they don't want to make, they're not interested in making a Skate 4.
Yeah, I think so. So fucking dunked on. Next up is Halo 2.
Okay.
It's coming to PC May 12th, baby.
Wait, what?
So you know how there's the Halo Master Chief Collection?
Yeah.
And on the Xbox 360, or Xbox One,
yeah,
all the Halo games are on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's awesome, whatever. Yeah. That's not the case on the PC. So the Halo Master Chief Collection is released.
Is it just the campaigns?
It's the campaigns and the multiplayer, but only for two games so far.
Oh.
So they have it for ODST and Halo 1.
ODST.
Yeah. Okay. And that's it. So eventually, the plan is they're going to piecemeal bring out all of the games to PC.
I guess, yeah. Why would they put four?
Wait. Okay, sure.
But yeah, it's weird. Because I think they got to do a bunch of stuff to, like, convert it over to PC or something. I don't know how porting games works. I'm sure it's hard.
ODST. Oh, no, I didn't like ODST. I loved Reach.
Oh, was it Reach? Not ODST? I forget which one it is. It's one of those ones. The ones that didn't originally come on the Master Chief Collection.
Okay.
Is on this PC version.
Okay.
But May 12th, Halo 2 coming to PC.
Okay.
It's coming multiplayer. Get the dual needlers, baby.
Dual needlers.
You can get there.
That changed the game.
Literally.
That changed the game.
After that, Sony had released a trailer for The Last of Us 2. It's the official story trailer.
Yep.
It is a lot of piecemeal shit. It shows Ellie straight up murdering fools, getting kidnapped, shooting zombies.
Yeah.
Very graphic headshot animations.
Yep. Her, she's like, her abandoning Joel.
Yeah, she's leaving Joel, trying to be her own person.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So that was a pretty cool trailer. But the bigger one is, I think last week I had talked that apparently the Last of Us 2 story had been leaked.
Mm.
And it was true. Mm. The Last of Us 2 story had been leaked.
It sure did.
And Sony knows who did it.
Okay.
They haven't released names, but it was a group of hackers external to the company, or of Sony or Naughty Dog. So okay. It wasn't an internal leak, but someone had gotten to their system. They're waiting to announce names and press charges, but Sony apparently found these people.
So
get fucked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Continuing on stories, MK11 is getting a story expansion.
Sure is.
And it has like space Liu Kang.
Yeah.
Crafting stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was Gandalf now.
Yeah, and then Shang Tsung shows up and he's like, but what if we go back?
Where does he exactly show up from? Like,
I don't know. He shows up from the Nether Realm because he shows up from a fucking portal of fire, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking crazy man.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
I don't know. But the biggest announcement, obviously, is that they're putting Fujin in the game. No, it's RoboCop. They're putting RoboCop in Mortal Kombat. You can have fucking RoboCop versus Terminator in your Mortal Kombat video game.
You certainly can.
That's awesome.
That's something.
I want to play Mortal Kombat 11 now.
I don't, but okay.
The stories are really good. Highly recommended. Same with the Injustice games.
Are they good? Or are they just so bonkers that you can't help but be entertained?
That's what I said. I said they're good.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Did I stutter? They're good.
Ah, I didn't realize good was an acronym for something.
They're good story. It's like on the Injustice game when they bring out the time treadmill.
Yes. Yes. Well, we all know comics are great.
Yeah. So. And then last on my pick list is E3 is canceled. E3 is gone. Thanks, COVID.
Oh, it's canceled.
It's canceled. They announced that a while ago. But you know what? The man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Keighley.
Oh man.
Not one to let an opportunity slip by.
Yes.
Right? Has created Summer Games Fest.
Summer Games
Fest. And he has said that Summer Games Fest will be a industry-wide event, and it will run from May to August. And during this time, companies like Sony, Bandai Namco, Blizzard, Bethesda, CD Projekt Red, Square Enix, like, and everyone in between, they're gonna start releasing new information about new games, new releases, and everything under this banner of the Summer Games Fest.
Okay.
To make it like an event to hype up all the stuff. So technically, we have digital E3.
It's interesting. Like I'm looking at other, say, industries, and they've all done the same thing. Like they've canceled all their big trade shows, but they've all done them digitally now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because I think I like this approach because I think he's saying that they're doing it like bit by bit. They're going to release information.
Yeah. And things. Also like bit by bit, they're going to release like playable trials for select games too. So like,
yeah, so that's cool. Cause like in the other ones, like in other industries I've seen, like for example, like in the watch industry, right? Like there's big trade shows, but like they canceled them. But what they did was they just launched all the products at once.
Oh, wow.
And so you just went to their website and it was just like, this is everything new. And it was just a sea of information.
Oh my God.
And you're like, what? And you're just like, I'm not even going to look at this. I'm going to wait till someone else picks through it and tells me what I should be looking at.
Yeah. But I think, again, like you said, I also think this is a cool idea because it's another if you think about it, it's just digital E3, right? It's just an E3 middleman. But the smart thing about it is that it still allows the companies to control their own message.
Yeah.
Which is the reason E3 is kind of falling away to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. Because now, like, why trust your information with this third party, and just have leaks after leaks every fucking year?
Yeah.
When you can just be like, okay, we'll be under this banner because everyone will know where to go, right? This is the Summer Games Fest. This is the thing I heard about. This is the new E3. And then that way they don't miss anything. But also, you still get to take your message and then keep it locked tight. All you got to do is put like a splash screen at the beginning of the trailer that's like, bling, Summer Games Fest 2020 or whatever. So this is, man, Jeff Keighley, crushing it. Crushing it, boy.
Sure is. He's doing heavy lifting.
But I was actually kind of bummed that E3 was canceled this year, because I look forward to it every year, and we always have our E3 discussion podcast. Yeah. I don't think we had one last year because we just forgot. But
I don't know. No, yeah. Well, last year Sony wasn't there.
No, but we even like their individual ones we didn't have. Oh, like, I don't think we had it.
Okay,
I don't remember. But yeah, like we kind of making it an event. And now that there's something here where, like, they're going to have their own things just under this banner, it's exciting. It's exciting for video games, my dude.
Yeah, it is.
And that's it. Those are my picks. There was... I think I showed some trailers, but I actually already forget what I've shown.
The only one I remember is Ultra Instinct Goku
comes to... Oh, Ultra Instinct Goku, like...
Comes to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I can't believe that game is still a game.
Yeah.
And still in the tournament scene. Because, like, how many Gokus can you fit?
Not all of them.
I guess. Apex Legend has a new season.
Is that a new character, too?
That's a new character. Okay. I forget her name. Loba, I think, is her name.
So her power is she throws a
sweet teleporting bracelet.
So she's like Sombra.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on what exactly she does.
Okay, fair enough. She does stuff.
But she does stuff. There's a new season. It seems like the new maps and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, the stuff that comes with the new season. Assassin's Creed has their Viking game now.
Oh, yeah, Valhalla.
Valhalla. Thor is with you. Bite dudes.
Yeah, Odin.
I don't know what these games are anymore.
Odin's son.
Like, do they still follow the thing of, like, there's an external force that...
I can't remember. What's the last one I played?
The last one I played was 3.
No, I played one after that. What was the one
Black
after
Flag?
The... I played after that. Black Flag was great, but that had nothing to do with anything.
I don't know. What's Assassin's Creed timeline?
Like, what's the one that happened after France? After they went to the French Revolution?
Ooh, I might have played the France one.
Because that was supposed to be the bad one. But there was one... They went to Egypt. I didn't do the Egypt one.
Oh, Osiris?
Origins?
Yeah, there's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Which is...
This is the chronological order. Not of release date, but of, like, the game history. So Odyssey, then Origins, then Valhalla, then Altair's Chronicles.
Nope.
Then Creed, then Bloodlines. Lineage? Assassin's Creed 2, Discovery, some sort of movie. Brotherhood? Revelations? Homecoming? There was a China one.
There was a China one?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China.
Which is the one with the twins?
Forsaken, Freedom's Cry, Rogue 3.
Rogue. I think I played Rogue.
Rogue? Liberation
Unity. No, I didn't play Rogue. Rogue is a mobile game, I think.
Dude, there's so many Assassin's Creed games. Black Flag, Bahrain, India, Underworld, Syndicate. Jack the Ripper.
Syndicate. I played Syndicate. That's the one.
Okay, because it's... Took place in Britain.
Yes, I played
Assassin's Syndicate. Creed Chronicles Russia.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, it's Assassin's Creed.
It looks like Assassin's Creed. Who's still... I need a timeline. I need to know everything there is to know about the Assassin's Creed games, because
I
was so invested when they first came out.
I don't know.
Ezio, my boy. My child.
Ezio.
He's baller. Yeah. And then they had that Brotherhood with the sweet-ass multiplayer.
Yeah.
And then they just fucking flushed it down the toilet.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the picks.
Those are the picks.
Cool. I'm going to talk about your week.
In my week?
Sure.
Oh, my week.
Mm.
Bro, let me tell you about Halo on the PC.
What?
So a couple weeks ago, it was on sale on Steam.
Okay.
And I bought it.
Halo 1.
Halo Master Chief Collection.
Okay.
And it came with Halo 1.
Okay.
And whatever the other one was. Was it ODST or Reach? I do not remember.
Okay.
But playing Halo on the PC feels unnatural.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have such precision with a mouse and keyboard.
Okay.
But everything in that game is so imprecise. Yes. Because it knows you're playing on a controller. So it's like there's no use for it. But I played through some Halo 1, and that game's fun. But also, I forgot that you can switch between old and new graphic styles.
Oh, yeah.
On the fly.
I forgot they remade it. Yeah, the graphics.
On the fly.
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's such a cool feature. But what I've been doing is I'm playing through Halo in Japanese.
Whoa.
Because you on the PC version, I don't know if this is on the Xbox One version, but you can download foreign language packs.
Whoa.
And foreign voice packs.
Whoa.
And yo, Halo or Master Chief, the Halo guy, Master Chief,
yeah,
in Japanese.
John Halo?
Sounds like a fucking baller. Just like deep anime voice. Like, it's pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. It's some and like Cortana is like this weeb ass shit. Oh my god, it's so good. Oh, I
bet she's a weeb.
Oh, it's so good.
Is she like a little lonely?
Good. No, it's not that high, but it's definitely like, oh, Chief Kun.
I wonder what the fan base of Halo was like in Japan.
I know there's like a subsect of Japanese people who like only play Western games.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're the reverse weebs,
yeah,
of here. They actually make fun of that in Yakuza. There was you have to like infiltrate an idol fandom or something. Yeah. And there's like different subsections. And like one of them was like people who only enjoy cutesy idols. One who only enjoys retro idols. One who only likes Western celebrities. And like,
ooh.
Yeah. And it's like, they call them out in the game. Like, you're like a fucking,
yeah,
Westernophile or whatever. Yeah. Anglophile. No, it's like Britain, but
yeah, France. I don't know.
But yeah. That's
Oh, Halo.
It's very interesting, but like, there's not much to say, bro. It's Halo. Remember Halo? It's the same. Yeah, we played on Legendary. The plasma pistol is just OP as fuck. Just take down those shields.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then it homes in on people.
Yeah.
It's kind of busted. But other than that, I finished Persona 5 The Royal.
You sure did.
100%.
Wow.
I'd say like 99.99.
Wow.
Because I got the platinum. I got the true ending, all the new stuff. But I have like 97% of the persona.
Oh.
So I know I'm missing Satanel, who's like the Uber persona of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm missing maybe like one or two other ones. I don't really, maybe the treasure demons. Because they don't show up in the list, I believe. So yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty much done. I started a new game plus, and I was like, maybe I'll go get Satanel and I'll 100% this.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize that they reset your level to 1.
Ooh.
But you do get to keep all your equipment.
Still.
It's still, yeah, it's not auto death. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, by the end of that game, I was getting auto death battles.
Yeah, and it
was
like fucking awesome. You have to do, like, basically go through the work all over again.
You have to do the loading screen and do whatever.
Yeah.
And also, like, you get the item to, I didn't realize this. You get the item for when you reach Confidant Rank 10 with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that on a new game plus, if you have the item, it'll automatically unlock all those features for you once you unlock the Confidant. But the actual Confidant within the game is 1.
You still have to level them up.
And so if you want the like Arcana XP boost,
yeah,
you have to level them up still.
Well, you gotta do something during the game.
Yeah, and it's like, but I just want to fish all day.
Nah.
I want to go to the arcade and I want to hang out at the Maid Cafe.
No.
But that's a good game.
No,
like, base Persona 5, still quality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just the whole through line of that story is kids have it hard. Irresponsible adults are making it unnecessarily tough on the younger generation. They're all corrupt. They're not responsible for their actions. They blame other people. It's all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Right. They even have that whole social link with the old politician who's basically fucking the Bernie Sanders of the Persona series.
Yeah.
And it's your whole thing about like breaking free of the chains of oppression, rebelling against the established order to get your freedom, stuff like that. But the fest stuff or the back end stuff is very interesting. So in the way where like adults are holding you down because they're too self-centered, too selfish, stuff like that. What if an adult was holding you down because they cared too much?
Like your parents?
Yeah, maybe. Or some sort of figure right in your life that cared too much.
Oh, okay.
Right? And didn't give you the freedom.
Okay.
Right? And there's a whole, like, they take the through line of Persona 5 and then flip it.
Okay.
And they're just like, well, not just corruption is bad. This other thing, like good intentions, can also be detrimental greatly, right? Even more so than bad intentions.
Sure.
It's a fantastic story. The stuff they do with the new characters is great. New personas, new temple. Like, that's a good-ass game. I really like it.
Was the new stuff, how long was it?
The new stuff was 1 month.
Okay.
So the regular game ends on New Year's, okay, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And then it picks up, if you do all the stuff right, it'll pick up January 1st. And then it'll go all the way until February 3rd or 4th.
Okay.
So it's 1 month of the in-game Persona time. So it's not that long.
Okay.
But there's still enough in there to do that you're going to have a good chunk. I think even with skipping the majority of the cutscenes and the dialogue that I've already seen in the base game,
yeah,
I finished the game around 85 hours.
Oh wow, okay.
So it's still long.
Yeah.
Right? I also did grind a lot. By the end of that game, again, I had 97% of the Persona base. I had all my characters to level 99.
Yeah.
I did like majority of the bonus bosses. And yeah, there's a couple new bonus bosses in the game. You can fight this one guy named, what's his name? It's Paul. It's not Paul.
Paul.
It's not Paul. I forget. What's the fucking kid? P5R Kid Car name.
Kid Car.
He's a kid that drives a car. Jose. That's his name.
Oh, yes. That's a Paul.
Yeah. Jose. You hang out with Jose. He's the new addition to Mementos.
Okay.
You go collect stars with him. And like he's like a super boss eventually. Like totally unrelated to the story. So
yeah.
But it's... That's the ultimate way to play that game. If you haven't played Persona 5, just pick up Royal because you get so much extra stuff.
That is the way it's done.
Morgana stops telling you to go to sleep all the fucking time.
Yay!
Yay! Sometimes he still does. But
Morgana,
how dare you?
What an asshole.
What a dick. but yeah, there's a whole bunch of additions in that game, and it's great. It's great. It hit me with the feels in certain cases.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know new best girl?
Mm.
Oh. If you play this game, you're going to love it.
Okay.
And because if you don't play this game, by the time end of the year awards rolls around, I'm going to have to spoil it.
Okay. Okay.
It's good.
Okay. I got plenty of time.
Yeah, you got a whole year.
Do I?
You got the majority of a year.
Okay.
And then last on the docket, I started an anime.
Oh, no!
An anime that you love.
Okay, this is interesting.
It's called Haikyuu.
Oh, volleyball.
Yeah. I started watching Haikyuu.
You started watching the king.
I'm not in it for the king. The king's a bitch.
You're not in it for the king?
Oh, baby. Oh, hold on. It's already known in P5R that you can play with Akechi again.
Yeah.
You're going to love Akechi
in
P5R. You're going to fucking... I know it. you're gonna love him. He's such a prick.
Oh yes,
but he's right.
Oh, that does sound amazing.
Oh, he's awesome. Every time he's in a group chat and they're just like fucking around, Akechi's just like, "Hey, you dumb fuck! It's not that. Like, it's this, you idiot." He's so good. Also, he's so useful because he has debilitate.
Oh, yes.
And, like, against bosses.
You just shut them down.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, I didn't, like, in the last game, I just kind of breezed through it and grind and do whatever. In this one, I was like, let's see, like, how busted can I make my persona? You can make your personas busted to a point where it doesn't fucking matter anymore.
Yeah.
I had, so like my lineup, how it worked is I had with the main character, I had two persona that really mattered, Attis and Yoshitsune.
So like one's light and one's dark.
So Attis, his passive skill is you're able to use skills normally that you should only be able to use when you're surrounded.
Oh, right? Wow.
And one of them is, you know, Heat Riser?
Yeah.
Where like for one character, up all the stats.
Yeah.
One of them is that, but party wide.
Whoa.
So you start off the battle with him, Heat Riser.
Yeah.
And it's everybody gets all their buffs buffed. Yeah. Then Ryuji, when he gets his rank 11 persona, gets a skill that gives party-wide concentrate. Or not concentrate, charge. So it doubles the attack of a physical attack for next turn. Party-wide.
Yeah.
Then Akechi has debilitate. You put it on there.
Yeah.
Your fourth party member does fuck all. I don't give a shit. But then you, when you get back to your turn, you switch to Yoshitsune.
Yeah.
And you use that one skill, was it Tobi Hisatsu? Like, I forget. It's like a light attack skill where it hits them 8 times.
Yeah.
Like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah. And it does like, it did like 1,000 a hit.
Oh, wow.
So I would face the optional bosses and do that combo, and I'd kill them in 2 attacks. It was so busted. And they would attack me, and I had buffed out my persona to the point where it's just like repel everything or drain everything. And it's like, who gives a fuck? You can't touch me. Eat it. It's great.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, being busted in persona is so fun.
That's usually how it works.
Good stuff. So yeah, back to Haikyuu.
Mm.
King sucks dick.
What? The king's the best.
How can you be the setter if you're so self-centered? Doesn't make any sense, buddy. Why would you want to set up the plays for people you hate?
That's why he's the king.
Ugh.
That's why he's the king.
Set that. Be faster on the spike. Faster on the spike.
Have you met the king's? Is it his rival or his senpai?
I'm only on episode 2.
Okay.
I just met the senpais. I met the kind of shaved head kid. Who like it's like, hey, like practice at 7, right? Right, and he like gives them, he helps them out or whatever and stuff like that. I've met the captain who just like fucking eyeballs them. He's like, you can't be on the team until you can learn to be a team.
Oh, the captain's great.
Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah, the captain's great.
And then there's the other guy. I assume he's the actual setter or the rival.
No. It's from a different school.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't.
Yeah. He's my favorite.
So, yeah. I can understand why this is so popular just from the first 2 episodes. Because, like, that first episode,
with Hinata.
If you want to get people hooked on something,
that's pretty good.
That is, like, mwah, that is masterpiece first episode.
Yeah.
You're not showing training arc. He's not completely useless. Like, he is a guy who cares about the thing that he wants, that he loves, and he's good at it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that his teammates are bad. He wants to do it for the love of the game.
Ah.
Right? And then, like, oh, just his, like, you really feel the emotion because you have the backstory of him, like, for the past 3 years, I've been training.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah.
Hopefully asking people to come join in
and
do whatever. And, like, when you see him, like, oh, he's, like, leagues above all these other people, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a missed set.
Yeah.
And then he just darts across the arena. That scene where he jumps in the air and he's moving sideways is so sick.
Yeah.
It's such a cool shot.
Yeah. They do some cool stuff like eventually, when they become like they become psychic with one another.
Yeah.
And like,
it's such a fucking sick like sport.
Yeah.
Because like you get all these like really cinematic poses and shit like that. It's so cool.
I think like it gets to the point where the king is kind of like, I'm gonna give you impossible sets and see if you can still make them. And he'll do it like mid match,
cause like fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's good. So yeah, and now I understand those memes of just like if Haikyuu is fake, then explain this, and they show like other volleyball teams like doing wild shit.
Yeah. If you watch like. That's the one sport I love watching, which unfortunately we can't watch it this year.
Yeah.
In the Olympics is volleyball, like men's volleyball, because she gets wild.
I especially like on beach volleyball. Like, how the fuck do they do that in sand?
Yeah, I mean, beach volleyball is different because it's smaller and it's usually just couples.
Yeah,
but if you watch like the one on the court, like I don't know if like you realize, but like the official volleyball court is gigantic.
It's huge.
It's huge, and that ball flies.
And yeah, and like any good sports anime, I was like, maybe I should start playing volleyball.
Oh, of course.
Maybe I should start playing volleyball. I don't know. It sounds pretty cool.
You should join a co-ed league.
Oh, and then train with the, like what he did. He trained with the girls. And
yeah.
Then the old ladies never played like this. Jumping serve. Oh, shit. He's like running with the baseball team and shit. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the character I want to follow. I want to follow. He's like Ippo.
Hinata, yeah.
Right? Like, he comes in built in with some sort of natural skill, so you don't have to sit through all the boring shit.
Yeah.
Right? The boring, like, this is what a volleyball is. It's like, bitch, I know. I know what a volleyball is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some good shit.
Right? And he comes, like, pre-built with some sort of skill level of, like, he comes in pre-built with the assumed knowledge of the reader.
Yeah.
The show doesn't treat you like an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's what I like most about these beginning episodes. Is that they're like, we know you know volleyball. Yeah. Or at least the basics of it. Hit the ball over the net, keep it in the lines.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a good-ass show.
Yeah.
And it's just two episodes. I can't believe I love it this much, and it's just two episodes.
Amazing. I feel like I should, because I haven't seen the most recent season, so I should probably catch up.
Fuck.
Because I think a lot of my coworkers are watching it.
So good. That's it.
Cool.
That's all. I uninstalled League again.
Oh, I see we're at that point in the relationship.
Because the people I was playing with have transitioned into Valorant.
Oh, and
you all and GTA now. Online,
oh,
which I'm not playing.
Wow.
And I tried. I was like, hey, maybe I should do some solo shit.
Yeah.
And it went terribly. So I'm like, fuck this game. And I uninstalled it.
Okay. Good for you.
So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Nice. I'll keep it on the anime trend. Started and finished a new anime this week.
Start and finish?
Mm.
What was it, like 12 episodes?
13?
Damn.
I watched Mobile Suit Gundam, The Origin.
Ooh!
Advent.
Boring.
Of the Red Comet.
Boring.
So, this is the recompilation of the Origin OVAs into a 13-episode series.
Yeah.
I think we watched a couple of those OVAs.
Yeah, I read all of the manga. Like, I bought them all here.
And it is, so it's basically those OVAs, but they've recut it. They've taken stuff out, put some other stuff in. And it's just, if you watch the OVAs, it's kind of like, it comes at you pretty heavy and pretty quick and just like a lot of, it's a lot to get through. But the pacing of the anime series is just a lot nicer.
Okay.
If you guys don't know, it is the story, like the precursor to the original Gundam, but it's told from the eyes of, we'll say the Zeon side.
Yeah.
And generally through the narrative of Char and his sister, where they came from. And it answers a lot of questions like how Char got the name Char, his beginnings, a couple other characters and whatnot, right up until to the events of the 1 Year War and the, I guess, the reveal of Project Gundam. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty easy to follow. It's definitely more, it's way more political than let's say if you wanted to watch something like Seed or Wing, like those are all political, but the whole point of this is before there were mobile suits. And so a lot of it is just like war, space noids versus the Earth.
How mobile suits changes the war.
Yeah.
How mobile suits were supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah.
They just made war worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's an entertaining watch. I mostly was just there for Char because Char is such an impossibly badass character that this whole origin, his whole origin story is just complete bullshit. Just to like, cause they got it. Like he just goes through the motions and is just amazing at everything.
Yeah.
And he kind of just ends up where he is because that's just it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a fun watch.
Have you seen a lot of the comments online recently about Gundam where they're saying that the show is actually pro-war and not anti-war?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you seen that? No.
I never thought about
it. I don't understand this take of just like, because everything I see about Gundam, I'm just like, it's pretty fucking anti-war.
Yeah, like, I mean, half of this whole series is about like, we need to stop the war, but there's always people who want the war to continue because of the benefits that war
brings. Yeah, and it's not like they're framed in the positive. Yeah. They're framed as assholes.
Yeah, they are framed as the villains, like the people who want to continue war.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's interesting. Huh. Weird. I thought it was just a method to sell toys, but okay.
Yeah, that's the true war.
That is the war
on parents' wallets.
Yeah, that's the true war.
I want this Kamen Rider. No.
So it's a good animation's beautiful, but it does. I guess there's two schools of thought when you want to draw or like you want to see animation that's like really impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've always been more partial to the type of animation where they drop frames, and it looks like shit starts to break up. You know what I mean? Like.
Like quick action.
Yeah.
It's not like this fluid motion. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Gundam the Origin goes the opposite direction where they add in more frames and shit looks super smooth and cool.
Uh-huh.
But then it throws off the impact of a lot of things. Oh. Like people will be thrown into a window like and it'll look real smooth.
Yeah.
But then it just looks like the window shatters behind them from no force.
It's not the whole like they violently smash.
No, it's like they smoothly run into the window and the window
like,
goes into a billion pieces and you're like, it's kind of like those, and it's like that with all the action sequences in this.
Yeah.
Except for the Gundam stuff, because I think a lot of the Gundam stuff is CG.
You want that Jackie Chan cut.
Kinda.
Yeah, you want that.
Like rough. I want that old school 2D.
You want to see people getting hurt.
Yeah. But that was the only thing. But yeah, otherwise Origin was cool. I watched a movie on Netflix called Extraction.
Mm-hmm.
This is with Chris Hemsworth, Thor.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a dumb action movie.
All right.
Basically, it takes place in India. There's two drug lords. One drug lord kidnaps the other drug lord's son.
Okay.
And Chris Hemsworth is a mercenary who is called in to...
Get the son back. Awesome.
And that is the whole movie.
Does the movie end with both drug lords being dead?
I don't know. It's not about that.
Okay.
But, it's real dumb. Like, if you just want some dumb, fun action.
Want some explosions?
This is kind of it. I'm not going to say that it is John Wick levels of awesome, because it's not.
Is it good, at least?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know when you're watching the action scenes in John Wick, and you're, like, watching John Wick do it, and you believe he can do it because he's got experience and technique?
And also the whole movie's run by stuntmen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the one where you're like, you're watching this because you know Chris Hemsworth is a tank, and when he does something, you believe it.
Oh, he's just running through people.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Like, when he stops you, you're like, oh no, he could stop me.
I think that would happen.
Yeah, like, when he puts his eye through a rake, nah, he could probably do that to me. You know, like, he does a lot of shit. They definitely do the bullet count thing where it's like... His
eye through a rake?
Yeah.
Bullet count thing?
Yeah, where it's like, you know, like, you... It's not infinite bullets in their guns, right? Like, obviously, they go...
Oh, okay.
He does the double tap. Like, he does all that fun stuff. There is one...
war crimes. All that fun stuff. You know, that Geneva Convention shit is so fun.
There is... Okay, the movie is just, like, it's highfalutin action. And then, in the middle of a movie, there is, a 20-minute sequence that starts with them running out of the forest into a car chase, into running through the streets of India.
Yeah.
That's one take.
Oh, awesome.
And it's wild. Like, it's almost worth watching the movie just for that. The other part that was fun is when Chris Hemsworth has to fight a gang of kids.
Is it beat up kids?
Well, the thing is, like, the kids are out to kill him. Like, they're, like, hired gunmen, right? But he has this thing about, like,
for... No women, no children.
Yeah, for personal reasons, like, he will not hurt a child.
Yeah.
So it's just him bitch slapping all these kids. That's great. Has a bit of an ambiguous ending, and I think it got greenlit for a sequel. It was done by the Russo brothers, so the guys who brought you the Avengers and and stuff, and Captain America, and Community. So yeah, no, it's a, if you want like a fun little violent time sink, it's worth checking out.
Fine. Off the show. What's this called again?
Extraction.
Okay.
I think it's on record to be the most profitable movie on Netflix.
Oh, really? Okay. Because, like, the last action movie I watched on Netflix was Six Underground.
Yeah.
And that movie sucks.
Yeah. I'd say this is more entertaining.
Okay. All right.
But it is like that military bro dude thing. Like, like, yeah, you have to understand, like, Chris Hemsworth is Call of Duty. So if you're not into that, then whatevs.
Okay.
And then the last thing I did was I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh.
So I am finito on that.
Oh, so is... Don't, without spoiling, obviously.
Yes.
Ending's buck wild, right?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, you're in the awesome it's camp.
It's awesome. Okay, okay. It's awesome.
Interesting.
It is so... You know what it is? Yo, I like Evangelion, but those Eva movies are fucking wild.
Oh, those Eva movies are fucking wild. Yeah. Remember when he gets the trident?
Yeah. That's what Final Fantasy VII Remake is. I played it. I will say that, like, I mean, in a nutshell, if you haven't played the original Final Fantasy VII, this game, at least the last hour of it, might be meaningless to you.
Oh, really?
Not that it's meaningless, but it definitely won't be as impactful. You definitely won't. You'll just be like, what?
Huh?
Who?
What?
What are you showing me now? I think the game is great, but at the same time, I feel like it could have been so much more.
In what sense?
In that...
Like, they could have showed more story?
No, or... no. The, it is just so boring and generic. Like, in terms of its setup and in what it's doing.
I don't know, man. I saw Sushi Legend use Tifa and it was like comboing somebody on an ice orb.
So here's the thing. Like, when it comes to the actual, like, makeup of the game.
Yeah.
It is kind of structured somewhere in between Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy XIII. There's no world map.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the most part, you're going through straight corridors with no exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a lot of backtracking through the same locales.
Yeah.
The kind of quests you do are like, you feel like they are from the 90s, where it's like, oh, collect 3 cats, you know?
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of fetch quests here, a lot of like meaningless, like obvious ways we are here to fill out your game clock.
Oh, that's when those are noticeable, those are really annoying.
Like, but like, it feels like the most fundamental game design from early like JRPGs. Like they're like, like, they're not very interesting to do, but you do them anyway because the benefits are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
Right? But the combat is so good that you can kind of forget all that. Because you're just like... Like, I will totally admit, when they first showed this combat, I wasn't, like, super thrilled by it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it opens up, and yeah, when you get Tifa... Like, at first, I didn't understand her value. But when you level her up and you get a couple more weapons, she becomes a monster.
Just a beating machine.
She is a beating machine. Like, her value isn't so much that she is strong. She is combo multiplier.
Oh, I see.
Like, she is, oh, you're doing that. How about I help you and give you 300 times damage?
Yeah. What if it was just instant stagger?
Like, yeah. Like, okay, okay. She is that. And she can do, like, a lot of wild shit. And she's definitely Goku on the battlefield. Like, she has a couple attacks where she just warps from screen to screen and you're like,
okay.
What?
Does it go like full Dead Fantasy?
Kinda.
All right.
And even in some of the cutscenes, like, I can never gauge how strong this woman is. Because there's a mini game where she has to do pull-ups.
Okay.
But she kind of does them and you're like, oh, she's struggling. And then there'll be like a cutscene and she fucking punches a boulder that's coming at her.
You know why she struggled? She want her boy Cloud, you know, to feel demasculated.
Oh, is that what it is?
When he's doing the squat competition.
Oh yeah, that's right. He does squats. Yeah. As a nostalgia fest, it's amazing. Like, you go to Walmart and you're like, whoa, what the fuck? And the game really does. At least the main story parts.
Yeah.
Are awesome, and they definitely lean way, way further into the lunacy of the original. Mm-hmm. Like, when you do the whole like, gotta dress Cloud up like a girl. They go beyond that.
Oh, really?
Like, they go far beyond that.
Okay.
But yeah, I always knew that this game wanted to place in Midgar. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got to the end, I was like,
remembering the original game, the original game ends with them on the famous motorcycle scene, and then they're looking out to the horizon, like, let's start off on an adventure. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no way this game can end like that, because that's just, like, that's not really an ending. It's just, I don't know. And it definitely doesn't end like that.
But the, I've heard.
But the ramp up to get there is just, like, so left field, you're like, what the fuck?
All right.
You're like, how did this happen?
That's awesome. That sounds great. And okay, then, I gotta finish.
And then it's just like, whoa. Holy shit.
Like when it hits that climax? When
yeah,
it hits that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
you think it'll have as much impact for a person who hasn't played the original?
So actually, I do have a friend who has never played the original, and I asked him how he felt about it. He's like, it was wild, but the thing is, he knew enough about the original story through osmosis that he knew that something was up
when he got there. Okay.
So I don't know anybody who's played it like...
Who's like completely...
Like in the dark. Like, okay. Who doesn't know about the big death? Who doesn't know about like what the whole point of the life stream is?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know? Like, I don't know anybody who's that blind about it.
It's such an interesting franchise, or an interesting game in the franchise to try and remake.
Yeah.
Because... it's so ingrained in gaming culture
that
I think no matter what you did,
no
one's going to be happy.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I saw the comments, you know, like, people are very upset.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's, like, the stuff that they put into the ending of the game is just like, oh, wow, you're reaching now. Like, you're going... And you're going to even grab the Advent Children crowd and be like, what's up?
Oh, hey, how's it going? Remember when Cloud had a sword within a sword?
It was dope. Like, they do that kind of stuff, and you're like, whoa.
Okay.
We're going this far.
But do they grab the spirits within
crowd? I don't know if they go that far.
Okay, all right.
A lot of spirits, though. I do like the fact that they did spread out the... like, I think I said this going in, like, I don't know how they're going to make a full game out of just that Midgar section.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out, like, the core story I really did enjoy. Because you really, like, in the original game, you're kind of like, well, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. What is... And you kind of just go through it, and then, like, I don't know how far you've gone through the original. You're in Shinra, right?
I'm in Shinra. I dropped the plate.
Okay, so you're okay. Because that's the only part I want to talk about.
Yeah.
When you drop the plate, basically, the Avalanche crew is dead.
What?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. Oh, in the original. Yeah, in the original.
They're dead.
Everyone gets
right?
fucking murdered. Yeah.
But, like, in that first game, you kind of like, well, at that point, you're like an hour in.
Yeah.
And you don't really care. You don't understand. You're just like, this is part of the game. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Disposable NPCs.
Yeah.
But in Remake, like, they flesh everything out. And, like.
I heard that even, like, the bodyguard to the Dawn's thing has a backstory.
Yeah. Like, that's, it's wild.
That's insane.
Like, they go so deep into, like, making sure that everyone has a purpose and a character. And it's like coming at it from a different angle. And it's really cool to see. If the original Final Fantasy was like, Final 7 was like, the game was like a series.
Yeah.
Or like a television series. The remake is like season one.
Okay.
Of a longer. Yeah. I really liked it. Like I said, like the fighting, the
battle. Well, obviously you're not a true Final Fantasy VII fan then, Vince.
You're right.
Because they butchered the original storyline. Ugh.
Could they have? Could they? Can you really say they butchered the original storyline?
How dare you? Are you implying that it's bad? That it's not good? That it's anime bullshit?
Maybe I'm implying that this isn't the original storyline. But yeah, no, it's good. It's definitely, I guess it's the only new game I've really played this year.
Yeah, I would think so. You've been watching a lot of TV.
Yeah, like.
You've been exercising for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I think, like, when we get to the end of the year and we see, like, all the big outlets put out their Game of the Year awards, I don't think this will be a Game of the Year.
No.
I don't think, I don't
From what I've been hearing, no.
I don't even know if it'll make the discussion. For Game of the Year, but it'll definitely be the one that's like most talked about.
Maybe it'll be like biggest disappointment.
I don't know if it's the biggest disappointment because I think it's still a great game. I just don't think it's
super duper awesome.
Yeah, like there's just aspects to it that are just like, well, this is kind of lazy, but it has such a huge name behind it that it could ride that name and it knew it was always going to be a success.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked it. It took me 35 hours to do.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
That's way less than my fucking 85 in Persona. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure you could do it faster if you wanted to.
If you didn't do all the side quests and
Yeah, no, it was Final Fantasy VII Remake. I enjoyed it. And I think that's it for my week. I don't think there's anything else that I wanted to bring up. Still watching the Michael Jordan documentaries. This most recent one was about Kobe.
Kobe,
man, Black Mamba. So that was great.
We want to watch. You want to watch Kill Bill? Is that what we're saying?
What? No. That's Kobe.
Okay, all right.
That's Kobe. Yeah, that's it for me this week. And I guess that's it for us as a show. We're done. Yeah.
Yeah, we got an anime club.
We do. So stick around for that if you're participating. Okay.
So yeah, thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye.